thank Tom for that wonderful singing. And you know, what a day it's going to be when we do get to go home and be with our Heavenly Father. I'm looking forward to that day. And I know that maybe many of you was looking forward to hear Daniel preach this morning, but he's away on vacation, so you're stuck with me. I still think maybe I might be a little better looking than him, but you know, my wife thinks so anyway. She better. But it is good to be here this morning. It's good to be able to laugh. And I just thank God that I'm saved and I know where that I'm going. And I hope and pray that before this service is over with this morning, that if you're not saved and you do not know Jesus Christ as the darling son who died upon that old rugged cross, that before you leave here this morning, that you will accept him as your personal savior. But you continue to pray this morning. And as I said, I thank Brother Tom for his leadership in the music. And I know that he is excited about the job that he does. And you need to continue to pray for him this morning. And I'd like to ask us a question this morning. You know, a lot of times we come to God's house and sometimes we just, and I have to kind of stay behind the pulpit this morning because my mic wasn't working right. And I always have problems trying to keep it behind my ear. So you pray for me because I don't like to stand still. And so, but nevertheless, you know, I like to ask us a question. You know, sometimes we come to God's house a lot of times, and, you know, a lot of times we get up and, you know, we go and we have the service, and then we go home and we say, well, you know, the preacher just didn't seem to do a good job this morning. And then, you know, sometimes we wonder, well, why didn't we have people come to the altar? Why didn't we have people get saved? Why didn't we see movement today? But, you know, I wonder how many of us have ever prayed one time during the week and said, God be with the music minister. God be with that preacher. God be with our church. God, I want you to be with the deacons there. How many times have we spent in prayer? But a lot of times we do not put forth an effort, but then we come to church expecting and that to be blessed by God. But we have to do our part here this morning if you want to receive a blessing from God this morning. And as we look over in the book of Ruth, you continue to pray as we look at the message that God has laid upon our heart here this morning. And then we find that Ruth is the eighth book in the Bible, but we just want to read just a few verses. And you know, there's four chapters here, and I have done Bible studies on the book of Ruth, but we're going to kind of look through the whole book of Ruth here this morning, and we'll go ahead and get you out early this morning so that we can go ahead and get and eat our dinner. But nevertheless, we're going to look at this, and this is a great message here this morning. As we look here, we're just going to read maybe the first four verses. It says, now it came to pass that the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, Naomi, and the name of the two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of the Bethlehem Judea, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. Verse 4, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. Shall we pray? Father, as we come to you and as we approach the throne of God, we just pray that here this morning that you just continue to bless the reading of thy word. And Lord, that you would just help us to get self out of the way and just be obedient and follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for those that are here this morning that has a great need in their heart and life, whether it's salvation or whether it's repentance of their sins. And Lord, maybe we've been a Christian. We just got troubles and trials in our life and we need to come. Father, I pray that they'll meet the needs here this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'd just be with this church. Help us to be a soul winning station for thee and that we'd be a light upon a hill. And Father, we just thank you for what you've done and for what you're going to do. We'd be careful to give you the glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But as we continue to look here, we find that Ruth is a love story. Many of us men, we don't love love novels. You know, we don't sit down and read books and romance stories and things like that. But I believe that if you'll study the book of Ruth and you begin to read it, you're going to find something great that you can see this great love story, how that it shows a plan of redemption, how that Ruth, how that she was a Gentile, and how that she met Boaz, and how that he took her to be his bride. But we can find that this is also a great story about what God has done for you and I as we look at the book of Ruth. And so as we begin to look here, we find that, it, as we said, the book of Ruth was the eighth book in the Bible. And eight, what does it stand for? There's numbers. Eight is a new beginning. We can find that surely in Ruth's life that a new beginning was about to take place in her life. And we find that Naomi, a new beginning in her life. And we can find that here in my life. When I met the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, when I got down on my knees and asked Him to come into my heart and life, I had a new beginning in life. And you never had a new beginning until you meet the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I hope and pray that if you're here and you're lost this morning, that you will come to the knowledge and know Him as your personal Savior. And as we begin to look here, we find that what had happened here, this is a great love story. We find that here, we find that Ruth, she was a Gentile. And what happens to Gentiles and Jews? It was a forbidden marriage according to the law of God. But then we find that also she was Moabite, and so she lived in the land of Moab. And also in the land of Moab, there was a curse put upon the people. Why? Because of the sin of Lot had committed after he had left Sodom and Gomorrah. So we find that there was a curse on her. But you see, there's something good about this story. We can find that what the law could not do over in Romans 8, chapter 3. Let's read very quickly. What the law could not do, grace did so much abound. We find that it was forbidden for her to marry. But then we find that through grace, we can find that, you know, we as Gentiles, we did not know the Lord as our free pardon of sin. We find that law demanded death, but we find that grace said that you and I could live. But let's look here in verse 3. For what the law could not do, it was that it was weak through the flesh. God sending forth His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for the sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we find that here that Ruth was forbidden to be able to marry. When we find that here, but yet Boaz said, yes, I'll take you to be my bride. And you see, that's just like you and I today. We find that the law demanded for me to be put to death. The law demanded that you be put to death also. But we find that Christ said, I'll die upon that old rugged cross that you can have life and have it more abundantly. And so I thank God that the law had been fulfilled through Jesus Christ dying upon that old rugged cross. So you see, grace intervened. And then that's why that I'm able to be saved. That's why that I can stand behind this pulpit this morning and preach the word of God. That's why you see people excited and smiles on their face, because they've been born again, because they're happy in the Lord. Yes, they have troubles and trials, but we find that here grace intervened. But so then as we begin to go, we find this story. We find that Bethlehem, Judea. What does Bethlehem mean? House of bread. Then we find that Amalek means God is my king. And then we find that Naomi means pleasantness. And Boaz, he is my helper. And so we find that here, we find that this is a story that is about to unfold. And we're going to look at this story. And we can find that as we begin to look, that Boaz, as we said, he is my strength. And so as we find that, we can find strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where I find my strength here this morning. And as we find that Ruth went to Boaz. Now we got the story kind of laid out. Let's go ahead and look here in verse 1. Now it came to pass in Judea that when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the land of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. So we find that, yes, there was a famine. What is the cause of a famine? It said that they lived and they dwelled in the land of Bethlehem, Judea, the place of house and bread, but it said there was a famine that came. Let's look over in Leviticus chapter 23, and let's look in verse 3 and 4. We'll see the cause of famine. Here we find it says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season. And the land shall yield the increase, and the trees and the field shall yield their fruit. But verse 14, but if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so you shall not do all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. Look what he says. I will even appoint unto you terror, consumption, and a burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow the heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. We can find that the children of Israel had sinned against God, and he had sent famine to their land. And so we find that, you know, today I'm afraid that there is famine even in our land today, in our churches today. There's a shortage of prayer. There's a shortage of reading the Word of God. There's a shortage of men of God standing behind this pulpit preaching the Word of God. There's a lot of people today that are preachers and ministers. They're afraid to stand and proclaim the Word of God for what it truly is. They're afraid to proclaim it because maybe they're afraid they'll lose their paycheck. They're afraid they might offend someone. But we need to stay and upon the Word of God. There's a shortage of it being preached today. People want a large congregation, so if I'll just stand and tell people how good they are and do this and do that, then everything's going to be fine. But it won't be fine, because I will be held accountable, you will be held accountable when we face the coming judgment of God. And so therefore we need to stand and proclaim the true Word of God. And so we find here there was a famine in the land, and so we find that sin has caused famine. And so do we want famine in our churches today? Do we want a revival today? Do we want to see people come and being born again into the family of God? And then it's time that we humble our hearts, we humble ourselves before God. But we find that here they said, okay, there's a famine here, we're going to leave and we're going to go to the land of Moab because it looks good over there. A lot of times we as Christians, we sometimes jump from church to church because, well, this church looks good, I'm going to go join it for just a little while. Well, it's dying here, so I'm going to go somewhere else. That's not the way that we should do. We need to be rooted and grounded in a place, and then we need to put our feet permanently there, and then we need to stand upon the authority of God's word and proclaim the truth, and then we're going to see great things happen when we lead and do what God would have us to do. But we can find that here they said we'll go to the land of Moab. It kind of reminds me of Abraham. And we find, what did he do? The Bible says he was called out of the land of Ur Chaldees, and it says, I want you to go to the promised land that I'm going to give you. And what did he do? Well, he said he took his father with him, and he was not to take them with him. He was to go by himself, but he took his father with him. He went to a place called Haran, and there he dwelt there for about 6 years, and he stayed there. And during this time of 6 years, it was wasted time, because you find that there's no mention of him making an altar to God, doing anything of purpose that he should be serving God. And then after the end of 6 years, what happened? It said his father died. And then after something died, then he was willing to move on. And so, you know, a lot of times we as Christians, yes, we get grounded in the Word of God sometimes. But a lot of times what happens, yes, we've been saved, we come to church, but sometimes we're in a place where that we're just not being productive to God. We come to church on Sunday mornings, we come to church on Sunday nights, but we're really not doing what God would have us to do. There's been many a time when I was in church that I wasn't in the will of God. When God called me to preach, yes, I stayed in church, but I was disobedient to him. I said, no, God, I'm not going to preach. I can't do that. There's just no way that I could stand. And I said, no, God, but I stayed in church. But I was not being productive. Why? Because something had to die out. You see, then when his father died, if we'll just die out to our sins, and yes, I'm saved, but a lot of times we want to hang on to certain things. But we need to kneel down and completely surrender all to the Lord. And when we surrender that all, then we can go and do what God would have us to do. But Abraham, what happened? Yes, he left Haran, but then he started on that journey that God told him to go on. But then it said famine came. And what did he do? The first thing he done, he said, I'm not going in the direction that God sent me, but I'm going down here into the world. And Egypt is a picture and a type of the world, and that's where he went and where he dwelt at for a little while. And so you see, a lot of times we want to dwell in the world. We want to try and safety and comfort in the world. But brethren, I'm telling you here this morning, we don't have to have a famine here this morning. Brethren, God is wanting to bless. God is wanting to things to happen here at Big Spring Baptist Church. And it's time that it starts. Where does it start? It starts with me, within my heart. And it's going to start in your heart this morning. And that's where you're going to see great results, when we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And so as we find here, yes, there was famine in the land. But we got to look at this, and we can find that judgment had came upon Israel. And so we find that here that there was famine. But then as we continue to move on, Let's look here in verse 4, and let's look and see what it says here. And they took them wives and the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there for about 10 years. We find that 9 is judgment, and 10 is testimony. So we find that numbers, as I said, they represent great things. It said they dwelt there for about 10 years. And we can find that here, that she had faced, Naomi had faced the judgment of God. She had lost her sons, and she had also lost her husband. And I tell you, it began to dwindle down, and all that was left was her and her two daughter-in-laws. And we find that she said that I have a testimony now. Said I had left the house of bread. I was placed where God wanted me to be. But then I dwelt and I came to the land of Moab, a place where I had no business to be. And then I faced God's judgment. And that was her testimony. She was about to have even a greater testimony. But look here in verse 21 and verse 22 of chapter 1. It says, as she was returning back home, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me? The Almighty has afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. And they returned out of the country of Moab and to Bethlehem in the beginning of harvest. So we find here that she said, I have a testimony. She said, I was following God. I was in the land of house and bread, and I was there, but I went out on my own. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're a Christian, brethren, God is a loving God. He loves you. He loves me. But the Bible says that we're going to face the wrath of God if we get out of the will of God. And that's the word of God this morning. He's a loving God, but he also will chastise those that he loves. And so she had a testimony. And then we can find that even then she'd lost everything that she had. But we find that after she'd lost it all, it was about to be returned to her as we look at this love story. And so as we continue on, let's look in verse 6. We find good news. Here in verse 6, it says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law, and she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the people had visited his people and given them bread. She had heard good news. She said, there's good news. She said, God had visited my homeland. I'm going home. Good news is that I can go back to where I need to be. Good news here this morning is that if you're out of the will of God, that you can come and you can just kneel down and you can get back reconciled with him. And if you'll just completely surrender your heart and your life here this morning. And then good news here this morning, if you've never been saved this morning, you can come and you can kneel at an old-fashioned altar and you can ask God to come into your heart and life, and you can be saved here this morning. And you don't have to worry about dying and going to a place called hell, because you can know that, rejoice that your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So good news. But then also in verse 6, it was decision time. We find that here that Naomi said, I'm going home. I'm going back to the place that I need to be. I'm going home. And then her two daughters-in-law was thinking about going with her. And then Naomi says, there's something that you need to know. Said, there's no need for you to go with me, because if you go, I have no other sons. There's no way that you can remarry again, because it's just going to be useless for you to go. So they had to make a decision right there and then. They had to make a decision to go, or they had to make a decision to stay where they was at. And so we find that Orpah, it said that they wept, and then she turned and she went away. And so as I look, as she turned and she went away, then Ruth made a decision, said, I'm going to go. Said, where you go, I'll lodge. Said, your God shall be my God. And so she made a decision to go and to follow Naomi. But we find the decision that Orpah had made. She said, you know, said, there's really nothing there for me. I'm just going to go back into the same old lifestyle that I had. And this was a place where that they served the god Chemosh, and they offered up human sacrifices. She said, this is what I'm going back to. I love this lifestyle, and that's where I'm going to stay. So she had to make a decision. There's people here this morning that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. You're lost. You're going to make a decision here in just a few moments, whether to accept him or you're going to be like Orpah and you're going to say, I still love my lifestyle. I'm going to live that same lifestyle, and I'm going to say no to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great love story about Ruth and the redemption, but also it's a plan of salvation for you and I. So as we see that Orpah said, I'm going to go. She made her own decision. But Ruth says, I'll go, and your God shall be my God. The Bible says over in 1 John, and as we continue to look, you can look over in 1 John, how that it says that here, 1 John 1 and verse 9, it says that if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and to just and for cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So if you're here and you're lost this morning, if you want to make a right decision, all you have to do is kneel, confess your sins, and then the Bible says he's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and he'll do just that. And so we can find that you must be born again if you want to go to a place called heaven. A lot of times people don't want to preach on heaven and hell. I was watching a TV program, and there was a new special, and they was interviewing this big high-up guy, and they come to him and they said, I want to ask you a question. I said, do you believe that all these atheists die and go to a place called hell? They was kind of maybe putting Christians down, how charismatic that we are and how that we preach against hell and things like that. And the guy kind of was put on the spot, and he just got a big grin on his face, and he says, well, I just want to tell you, he says, I don't know who's going to go to heaven or who'll go to hell. He says, you know, God's the judge. But I can tell you one thing. I know who's going to die and go to hell. How do you know this? Because the Word of God tells me it's not drinking, it's not smoking that sends people to hell, but it's rejecting Christ as your personal Savior. And the Bible says if you do not accept him as your personal Savior, the Bible says that then you're going to a place called hell. But it says that if you accept him, then it says you can go to heaven. So decision time will be made here in the altar call in just a few moments. And you're going to have to make a decision how that you're going to serve. Will you go with God, or will you go ahead and say, Satan is going to be my life? She wanted to go back and serve all these false gods, have a good time, and that's where that she went. But we find that Ruth, her life completely changed as we begin to look here in just a few moments. And so as we find here, then let's look into verse 21 and 22. We find that here that it was harvest time. And as we look in verse 22, it says, Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, and with her, and returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of what? Of the barley harvest. And so we find that this is very particular that we want to look at here for just a few moments. When did they return? It was in time of the harvest. And so you find that they was fixing to glean the fields, they was fixing to work and get their crop and everything. It was harvest time. And we can look around and, you know, I enjoy harvest time. I enjoy going out to my garden and getting fresh corn and getting green beans and getting lettuce and all that good stuff. I tell you, I enjoy the harvest time. But we want to look at what this could represent right here in just a few moments. Let's look, as we see this harvest time, let's look over in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 39. We find what the harvest time represents as we begin to look here. In the well, let's just back up and read verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he was explaining about the parable of the wheat and the tares. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Verse 39, it said they returned at harvest time. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is what? Is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And so we can find that here, that we can see that Ruth was about to meet her kinsman redeemer. She was about to be taken care of. And then it says that here that they return at the harvest time. We know that we have been called out. We're doing the job that God has called us to do. I don't stand behind this pulpit just to preach and to study just because I want to. But I love people, and I want to go out and proclaim the love of God to them and tell them what God has done for me that he can do for you. You know, it's not this suit that makes this preacher. It's not the clothes that I put on, but it's what's in my heart. And, brethren, that's what makes you a born-again believer when the Lord comes into that heart in your life. But as we look here, he's coming back one of these days to take his children home. And I want to ask us this morning, are we prepared to meet the Lord this morning? You know, as Brother Tom said, there's a lot of people that get up and they'll say, you know, the Lord's coming back on a certain date and this, that, and the other. And our scientists, you know, they said, well, the comet's going to destroy the world and that's going to be it. You know, I don't worry about these things. Why? Because I'm looking for the Lord to come back and to take me home. And so he is coming back, and that's something that you can bank on. Are you looking for him to come back? Are you living the kind of life, or will you be in trouble when he does come back? That's something to think about, the lifestyle that you're living as he gets ready to come back. But he's coming back one of these days. And then let's just look at a few verses in verses 1 and 2, and then we'll be closing in just a few moments. But as we find that here, that Naomi went back. She had lost everything. She'd lost her property. She'd lost her land. She'd lost her husband, her two sons, and she had nothing. But then let's look in verse chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And then what did Ruth say? It says, and Ruth and the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me go to the field and glean the ears of corn, and in him whose sight that I shall find grace. And she said to her, go, my daughter. And so we find that here, that Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. You see, the law had already, under the Old Testament law and stuff, God had always taken care of his people. And so there was a law that if, say, Naomi, she had lost her husband, and we can find that the law provided a kinsman redeemer that could buy things back and take care of this family, this widow, and her daughter-in-law. And so we'll look at this kinsman redeemer. Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. He was next of kin, and he could redeem everything back for Naomi, could get her property, everything she had lost, but he had to be willing. And we're going to look at the kinsman redeemer in just a few moments, but as I continue to look here, we find, let's look and see that she said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to glean and work in this field. So she went out, and she began to glean and work the fields. And the Bible also had a law that the poor people could go to the fields and they could glean the edges of the field. They could go out and collect so that they'd be able to be fed and not starve to death. You see, God has always taken care of his people, and God will take care of us today as we're trying to feed the lost and dying world the word of God. But then we're not going to try to confuse you here this morning, but as we find that she went out and she began to work the field, she began to do what God would have her to do. She worked the fields, but then something great happened. Let's look in verse 14 and 15, 16. For Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers and reached her parchment of corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. But then let's read verse 16. And Boaz said, and let some fall by the handfuls on purpose for her, and leave them that she might glean them, and rebuke her not. So she went out in the field, and then he says, I want you to do something special for this lady, Ruth. Says, I want you to drop handfuls on purpose that she can gather them and put it in her basket. And I'm here to say that this morning, you know, we can receive our rewards while we're here on this whole earth this morning. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to receive our blessings. The Bible says that God will give us blessings. He'll drop handfuls on purpose for us. And there's times that we might come to the service and maybe we're just so down and out. And then maybe someone might come up and just put their arms around you and say, sister or brother, I truly love you. And you're just feel so down and out. But then that's that handshake. Maybe that's someone saying they love you. How that you just feel revived again. And maybe, you know, God just continues to pour out blessings. Maybe souls will come and get saved and born again into the family of God, and the church begins to rejoice over that. God will give us blessings. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to be blessed, but we can find it here that Ruth was blessed as she was beginning to glean the fields. But then as we continue to look, and then we see the great story of redemption, as we find it here that Boaz was a kinsman redeemer, and Boaz, you know, he began to look at Ruth, and she was working and gleaning in the field. And he says, I'll take care of you. And then we can find that Naomi told her what to do. As he was there, and he had went to the night time where his wheat was at, and he was going to guard his wheat, and then Ruth went to him that night. Naomi says, I want you to go to him, and says, then you lay at his feet. She went in and uncovered his feet that night at midnight and just laid at his feet. And then he kind of woke up and was afraid, and he says, who are you? And he says, I want you to do what your job is. And she said, yes. And then so here Boaz says, I'll take you to be my wife. I'll take you to be my bride. And so we find that he was willing to be the kinsman redeemer. So as we find this story, as we find that here that Ruth had went to him, we find a kinsman redeemer. First of all, what's the qualifications of being a kinsman redeemer? The qualifications is that he had to be kin. And then also, he had to be willing to pay the price. And then also, we find that he had to be able to pay the price. So you see, the kinsman redeemer, Boaz says, yes, I'll do all of these three. He says, I'm wealthy enough, I'm able to pay the price. He says, I'm of kin, and he says, I'm willing to take you to be my bride. And so we find, but he said, there's one that's next to kin, nearer than I am. So they went to him, and this guy refused to be the kinsman redeemer, to redeem Ruth, to be his bride, and to take Naomi and to buy back all the property. He said, why? Because I'll mar my own inheritance. I don't want to do it. And I'm glad today that here, as we see that Boaz says, I am the kinsman redeemer, we find that Christ is the kinsman redeemer for you and I today. We find that he was willing to pay the price. There it took his life upon the old rugged cross. He says that I'll die for your sins and for my sins. He was the kinsman redeemer. He's next of kin to us. We find that when he was born of a virgin, we find that as he was born a human birth, there he was a human on the face of this earth. As we find that here that he came, we find that here that he came through the bloodline of us. And so we find then that he's able to pay the price. The Bible says that we're not redeemed with silver and gold, but we're redeemed by what? By the precious blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm redeemed here this morning. And as we find out here that Ruth was redeemed and how that it took place in her life. And then we find that there's three things that can be redeemed. We find there's a slave. And then we find that there's the property. And then not only that, but then we find a bride can be redeemed. So here we find that Boaz says, I'll take your property back. He says, I'll do all of that. And you know, and it says that here that she was a servant. She was out gleaning the fields. But he says, I'll take you. And then also, he says, I'll take you to be my bride. And you see, that's what the Lord had done for you and I. I was a slave to sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, I become a sinner. And I was a slave. I needed to be redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord. And so he redeemed me. And he bought me back with that. And then the property over in, you can look over in Revelation chapter 5. And we can find that it says that there was a seven sealed book. And we find that there was a curse because of Adam and Eve's sin put upon the face of this earth. There was a curse put upon this land. But I'm here to tell you that one day that he's going to redeem this land once again. And the Bible says that that seven sealed book was sealed. And it said that they had searched through heaven and said there's only one that was worthy to open that seven sealed book. And it was the Lamb of the tribe of Judah. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And one day he's going to redeem everything. And so the land itself will be redeemed. And so you can find that in the Old Testament, you find that the kinsman redeemer, like I said, there was a scroll that was sealed up. And the high priest had this, the priest had it. And he was kind of like a lawyer back then. And you can find a story of this about how Jeremiah had went, because he was going to be a redeemer and buy back some property and buy back some land. They would go and get this seal, and they would open it up. And then they would open it and put it in a place where the public could read it. As we find that Jeremiah said, I'll be the kinsman redeemer. He said, I'll buy back all of this. And so they would open it up and put it on public display so that they could see that it's been redeemed. So this seven-sealed book is showing that the world, as you find judgment is about to face in the tribulation period, come on the face of the earth, you can find that it's about to be redeemed. But then also a bride. We find that here that Ruth was taken to be a bride. There's coming a time that we find the marriage supper of the Lamb, where that we're going to go and be with the Lord, and he's going to be reunited with his bride. I'm glad that I'm part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you this morning, are you that bride? And so then as I find that, as I said, he is going to redeem the property. And so as we look here today, we see the great love story. We find that Ruth, she was just a slave. She was just a person that didn't know anything. But then she went to Boaz, and he redeemed her. I've been redeemed this morning. She made a right decision. And I'm going to ask you this morning, have you made a decision to follow the Lord? If you've never made that decision to follow him, it's very important that you come. I'm not being hateful this morning, and I'm not trying to be critical on anybody's life, but I have to proclaim the word of God. The Bible says that you can never accept him as your personal Savior. The Bible says that you're going to die and go to the place called hell. As a small child, I remember getting up out of bed and how that I had to go and ask him to come into my heart and life because I was going to die and go to hell. And, you know, I wasn't a bad sinner. As I said, I grew up in the children's home, taking care of my family and all of that. And I didn't know a whole lot of that thing. But one thing I knew, that if I didn't ask him to come into my heart and my life, I was going to die and go to the place that I was living. And so I had to accept him as my personal Savior. And that's just the way it is with the Word of God. And he will give you life and give it to you more abundantly. So maybe some of us is like Abraham. We've been saved by God. We started on a journey. But now, we're in a place called Haran. We're just well now. Nothing really going on in our spiritual life. We come to church. We just come and shake hands with people and smile and sometimes put on a front. But we're not where we really should be with God. It's time for us as Christians. If we want to see great things happen, we just need to kneel. We need to ask God to take full control of our heart and our life. We need to say, God, I surrender it all to you, and I'm willing to be used. Do you really want to see this church begin to get on fire for God? And brother, it's time for you and I to do what we need to do. But I'm going to ask you this morning, are you willing to step out? You know, you say, well, preachers, people's going to laugh at you. No, people won't laugh at you. There'll be people coming to pray for you. But you've got to make that decision here this morning. Are you willing? But this time, just come go ahead and go to God in prayer, and we'll give you a verse of invitation. Father, as we approach the throne of God, we're thankful for this opportunity that you give. Lord, if there's one that's here this morning that needs to make a decision to come and to follow you, and Lord, accept you as their personal Savior, let this be the day that they can go home rejoicing. Lord, be like Ruth. Lord, know that they've been redeemed by the kinsmen of the King. And Lord, that they've become part of that bride. And Father, Lord, we know that we have been a servant to sin and we've been a slave to sin for a long time. But Lord, there's joy in serving you. Lord, I know that joy in serving you because even in troubles and trials of my life, I still faith and rejoice. And Lord, proclaim the love of God. Lord, I pray that we'll just be willing and obedient here this morning. We'll just be here for you, Lord, and honor for all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.